Morning. Glad to have everyone here. Glad to see everyone. I had two different subjects I wanted to talk about this morning. I had trouble deciding which, and then I narrowed it down to three instead of two. So what I decided to talk about this morning is things related to the cross. I just want to read first in starting in Ephesians 5:21. I'm going to read Ephesians 5:21 down through 32. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ meets sinners only at the cross. The blessings of God are received upon God's terms, not ours. We must plant the cross in the middle of our hearts. The cross is central. Things connected to it are paramount. If you spend money to buy a suit, the good from that money comes from wearing the suit. Medicine can heal, but only when you take it. Medicine left in bottles is worthless. Paul said, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void or lose its power. That's 1 Corinthians 1:17. The power is there, but it must be connected. I want to talk first, my first connection to the cross is the New Testament. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, or testament, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." That's found in Matthew 26:28. The Bible is a book of blood. More than 400 times the Bible mentions blood. But tragically today, people are too proud to associate with blood. You know, it's just too messy. Man could not write the Bible, and he would not if he could. Too many think the cross of Christ was defeat, and his resurrection was victory. The New Testament only reveals death as the victory. Hebrews 9:15-16 declares Jesus as the mediator of the new covenant or testament. Hebrews 9:15 says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For whereas a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator." So a testament, or a will you could say, is good only upon death. Jesus took the power of death from Satan through death. The resurrection validates the death. Jesus won at the cross, as it says in Colossians 2:14-15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and it took out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And have spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus is the key to the scriptures. You can find Jesus implied in every verse. To know Jesus, read the Bible, not some theological study by man. The living word is found only in the written word. And it's amusing how people are labeled according to their religious opinions. These labels are not biblical words, however. We should want to be a Christian, period. The issue is authority. Will we go by the Bible or not? I only want to be a member of Christ Church, no more, no less. Would you have liked to be a member of the first century church? You can. I want to talk about that now. That's my second point as far as relating to the cross. The New Testament church. The Gospels focus on Jesus. Acts through Revelations focus upon his church. Jesus promised Peter that he would build his church. Jesus promised Peter this in Matthew 16:18-20. I'm just going to read 18, which says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus promised Peter that he would build his church, Jesus' church. Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Acts 20:28 says, "Which he hath purchased with his own blood." He loved the church, and he gave himself for it. And I want to relate back for a second to that opening passage I read in Ephesians 5, because in verse 25 it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Just like a husband ought to love his wife, Jesus loved the church and gave himself that he might present to himself a glorious church at the end of time, as we read in this preceding passage in Ephesians 5. The benefits of his blood come in through and by his church. You cannot separate Christ from his church. The physical body of Christ purchased the spiritual body of Christ. The church is God's forever family. Nothing on earth is like the church. Nothing on earth can do what the local church does when it's doing it right. All that Jesus left upon the earth was his church. He did not die for man-made denominations. Christ is the head over all things, which is his body, in relation to the church. Ephesians 1:22-23, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of them that filleth all in all." Unity and equality are found only in God's church. Jesus broke down the wall, reconciling both to God in one body through the cross. The church is one, not many, but one. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Jesus Christ, ye who sometimes were far off might be made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." It says, "who hath made both one." And then down in 16th verse, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So there's one church, one body. But you might say, but the church cannot save you. Well, you're correct. Christ is a savior. The church is a saved. The saved were added to the church, as it says in Acts 2 and 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you are saved, you have been added. If you have been added, you are saved. God does not forget. There are no saved people outside the church. I want to repeat that. There are no saved people outside the church. When you preach Christ, you get the church. Have you ever heard it said, I love the church, or I love Christ, but I reject the church? This is neither scriptural nor sensible. One of a Christian's greatest joys is his Christian wife. A Christian man would rather hear you compliment his wife than himself. A Christian man many times will not verbally defend himself, but you better not attack his wife. In turn, we should not wish to stand before God having harmed Christ's church, which is his bride. Christ is going to present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Acts 5 and 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Third thing I'd like to talk about in relation to the cross is the Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper. Jesus is Lord. Culture cries, love, 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 while refusing to define love. Culture cries, believe in believing. This makes belief a human work. But believe what? Believe in whom? Someone says, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. Just be good, honest, and sincere. That's all you need to do. If you're good, honest, and sincere, then it matters what you believe. What is the latest culture cry? It is to say, Jesus, 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 or Jesus is Lord. Jesus silenced that. He said, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's Luke 6:46. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. That's Matthew 7:21. And then in Matthew 7:23, he will say to these, I never knew you. The Lord's Supper connects with the cross. The early church steadfastly assembled every Lord's Day. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the church, early church, steadfastly assembled every Lord's Day. The Lord's Supper was placed in the assembly. The Christian does not partake alone and then assemble. The church is saved because the church has a Savior. Jesus is the host. He's not the guest. The Lord's Supper is not a church sacrament that forgives us. It is a memorial declaring that we are the forgiven. Jesus only has one command, follow me. He only has one request, remember me. 1 Corinthians 11:21, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." One Bible, one bread, one cup, one body, one blood, one covenant. The Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. The unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. It would be worse than an insult. It would be blasphemy to substitute anything for the bread and the cup. The church that does not meet cannot survive. As a community, the church has a life of its own. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking in bread, and in prayers." The church does not grow on religious holidays, but it does grow on the Lord's Supper. To fail here is to make the church weak and to make the church sickly. 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." The Lord's Supper is the greatest memorial on the earth. Every member can participate. The focus is on the Word, the cross, and the table. Members examine themselves. Members proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That's stated in 1 Corinthians 11:26. The Lord's Supper is a celebration, not a funeral, but a celebration. It is the one memorial around which the church rallies. Next thing I want to talk about is baptism. The cross, the cross must be placed again at the center of society and not just on the steeple of a church building. Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. All of us must raise and answer the question, what must I do to be saved? Some suggest that the sinner's prayer, which is based on Luke 18:9-14, when the tax collector prayed, "God be merciful to me, the sinner," to offer this as a way to salvation exposes ignorance, dishonesty, or both. In this story, both the Pharisee and the tax collector were Jewish brethren at the temple. Neither was an ailing sinner. One was proud, the other one was contrite. This is the lesson. This parable of Jesus was before the cross, the Great Commission, the Gospel, the Book of Acts, the Day of Pentecost, and the Church. This was not about salvation. Jesus was not known, needed, or even mentioned in this parable. Jesus is not in what we refer to as the sinner's prayer. Baptism connects sinners with the cross. In this act, we can contact the blood of Christ. It is the only place on earth where a non-Christian can. Therefore, it must not be reduced to a meaningless church ritual. No religious word upsets people more than baptism. But if baptism is useless, why get so angry? The fact that a non-baptized Christian is foreign to the scriptures. Let me start that again. The fact is that a non-baptized Christian is foreign to the scriptures and to the history of the first century church. Baptism is an important event in salvation. Jesus put baptism in the Great Commission. Acts 16:15-16. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So sinners are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go ye therefore and preach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew 28:19. So the heart of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Sinners are baptized unto the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because in Colossians 2:12 it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So in baptism one accepts the Lord and is clothed with him. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ. So in scriptural baptism, a sinner becomes a Christian. Because as it says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is not a meritorious work of man, but the work of God. Each sinner must hear, believe, repent, and confess. No one could do all these things for me, but someone else had to baptize me. Sinners literally receive baptism. 12 men were rebaptized by Paul in Ephesus. And it talks about that in Acts 19:1. And it says down in verses 6 and 7, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And verse 4 of that chapter says, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that ye should believe on him which come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And then it says in the verse 5 that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So we know that baptism saves. Because 1 Peter 3:20 says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the day of Moses, or of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were baptized by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Jews on the day of Pentecost needed to be baptized. That's in Acts 2. The Ethiopian nobleman needed to be baptized. That's Acts 8:26-40. Paul needed to be baptized in Acts 9 and again in Acts 22:16. Cornelius needed to be baptized in Acts 10. We also need to be baptized. The crucified life. The cross results in the crucified life. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ was not on the cross 6 hours, but 33 years. He lived the life before he died the death. Salvation is free, but it costs us everything. It costs us our lives. In the historical sense, Jesus is risen, but in the holy sense, he is still on the cross. Christianity is a cross, not a crutch. The church was brought into existence through the cross and lives as an expression of the cross. Jesus calls us to die. Paul died daily. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. We come to the cross, we live at the cross, and Paul says it best, Galatians 3, verses 1 through 4, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Jesus, who is our life, shall appear, then also ye shall appear with him in glory. The crucified Savior can only be communicated by crucified servants. The church can only learn how to live when it has the courage to die. The church must never be more like the world than he came to save, that he came to save, than Christ who died to save the world. We cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You can, 1 Corinthians 10 and 21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. All the Bible that one has is what he lives. I want to read you a little passage. It says, give God the first hour of the day. Give God the first day of the week. Give God the first portion of your pay. Give God the first place in your heart. When you undermine the blood of the book of blood, the blood-bought church, the Lord's Supper of Remembrance, or baptism, nothing remains to connect you to the cross. Tragically, we have underpreached Jesus. The cross, there's no other way. This morning, if you would like to come the way of the cross, the only way, please come forward, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins, or if you'd like to use the cross to confess a sin, come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song. If you'd like to place membership, now's the time to do that as well as we sing this invitation song.